More than 35 years ago, our next speaker wrote a book called Unsafe at Any Speed. Maybe as we welcome here, we can encourage him to write a new book, Unsafe in Word and Deed, The Designed-In Dangers of the IMF and the World Bank. The 2000 Green Party candidate for President of the United States, the world's most foremost consumer advocate, a leader in the struggle for global justice, Ralph Nader.
Thank you. Thank you, Rob Weissman. Thank you all for coming. Look at that one over there. That's Gene Stelt's work. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. I want to say a few words today, but before I get into my discourse, I want to thank C-SPAN for bringing this to millions of people all over the United States. It's C-SPAN who gives voice to rallies like this, and the reason why so many people have to use the streets in order to express their views about the devastating effects of multinational corporations, their dictatorial allies, their oligarchic partners, and their instruments of repression and misdirection, such as the IMF and the World Bank. The reason why people have to go to the streets, public places, is because they've been excluded from the other public property they own, year after year, the public airwaves. The people of our country own the public airwaves. The radio and TV stations control the public airwaves. 90% of all time is entertainment and advertising. The radio and TV stations pay no rent to the people of the United States for their licenses that they get from the Federal Communications Commission. When the people of the United States have their own radio and TV stations and their own audience networks, they won't have to go to the streets. Yeah. We're gathered here today, united by one theme, that democracy is an instrument of justice, and everybody in the world should be able to use it. Everybody in the world to advance the health and the safety and the economic standard of living and the respect for the environment and the nurturing of childhood and the respect for future generations and the ability of democracy, government of, by, and for the people, to wage peace. Our government is spending $380 billion this year preparing for war. They're not spending $10 million to wage peace. Half of the entire discretionary spending of our federal government is now in the military budget. Half. Aside from Social Security and Medicare, which are social insurance systems, imagine all the necessities throughout our 50 states, where poverty is increasing, where unemployment is increasing, where affordable housing is more and more difficult to get, where children in the millions are living in dire poverty, where two breadwinners per family can't make ends meet and they're going into debt, $7 trillion of consumer debt, where environments are being devastated, the contamination of the air, water, soil, where corporations are running amok, wasting precious energy in the fossil fuel area, and then obstructing solar energy from replacing fossil fuels. Corporations know no limits to their power other than the rule of law, the mobilization of informed citizens, the countervailing force of trade unions and environmental groups and anti-poverty groups and civil rights groups, the countervailing force of an aroused, informed citizenry who basically challenges the corporate domination of the world that's called euphemistically globalization. That challenges the privatization of essential public services and health and education and water. That's euphemistically called privatization. It's corporatization. The struggle between civic values and corporate commercial values is the main collision in this world today. If you make a list of the 10 most serious problems and injustices affecting the world, you will see that the giant multinational corporations are either increasing the seriousness of these problems and injustices, or indifferent to them, and very, very rarely ameliorating them. Dictatorships are institutions to cut deals with, to cut mining and other concessions by multinational corporations. They can live with dictatorships, but the people under their yoke cannot. The environment, relentlessly attacked by the fossil fuel industries, by the pesticide industries, by biotech industries, by industries that destroy the basic resource that sustains all life on Earth, from the land erosion to the water depletion, to the destruction of the equatorial forests, to the expansion of acid rain, to the depletion of the oxygen in the oceans, to the poisoning of the air and water, to the buildup of global warming. Those come from corporate technologies, directly utilized, directly imposed, directly transferred to other autocratic institutions. What this is all about, what today is all about, what the struggle for democracy is all about, is who decides, who pays, who writes the rules, who builds the future, who plans for humanity. Large corporations, giant corporations like ExxonMobil and DuPont and Imperial Chemical and Shell and Merck Sharp and Dohme and General Motors, they no longer have any allegiance to country or community other than control them around the world. They're so willing to drop their U.S. citizenship and go to some tax haven in the Bermudas or Bahamas and still demand that the taxpayers subsidize them, the taxpayers bail them out, the taxpayers give them free research and development, such as drugs that are then used for massive profit against people who are sick and can't afford $14,000 for 6 treatments for Taxol, for AIDS. We're entitled to ask why we the people have allowed artificial legal entities that are chartered by the state governments to have all the rights that human beings have, and privileges and immunities and power that human beings will never have. How can we have equal justice under the law in the United States of America? Equal justice between you and General Motors, between you and Exxon? Impossible. We have to subordinate the power of corporations to the sovereign power of the people institutionally. Corporate Businessweek magazine put it very concisely 2 years ago with a cover asking, too much corporate power, and saying in 7 detailed pages inside the magazine, yes, yes, yes. This is a mainstream business magazine loaded with corporate ads, but had the courage in their editorial that year to cite a poll of the American people where 72% of the American people said that corporations have too much control over their lives. And Business Week concluded with the most succinct forward path for democracy in this country. And I quote Business Week, quote, corporations should get out of politics, end quote. People back home listening to the speakers of this rally are entitled to know that while they're being told there are no tax dollars for their public transit, for their health clinics, for their schools to be rebuilt, while there are no public funds for their parks, no public funds for a whole host of other necessities, there are billions of their tax dollars for the IMF and the World Bank that go through Congress without any scrutiny. People back home are entitled to understand that though they work hard every day, 47 million workers in this country don't make a living wage. 17 million make under $7 an hour. But the CEOs are making 530 times more than the workers in their country in a fit of greed and self-enrichment that the world has never seen. Hundreds of millions of dollars going to one crooked CEO, corporate boss. And what are the American people demanding? And it doesn't matter if they're listening to Rush Limbaugh or Amy Goodman. They're all demanding the same thing. Catch those crooked corporate bosses, make them pay it back, convict them, and send them to jail. It's important to remember that we all have a big job to do. When we go back home, we got to expand our epicenter of influence with our friends and neighbors and workers. Ask them to give themselves a chance to read about what's going on in the world, what's going to happen to their children and grandchildren if we don't roll back the forces of corporatism, oligarchy, plutocracy, dictatorship, and reaction. Once and for all, we have to do that because the world is a world of increasing risk, increasing technological risk and military risk and poverty risk and disease risk. And the American people are at the top of the ladder in terms of education and the ability to make a difference. And we've got to put that moral imperative on our back so we can help liberate billions of people in the Third World and Eastern Europe and allow their genius to flower. You've heard how few billions of dollars are needed to save millions of children's lives, how few billions of dollars are needed to save millions of people who are dying from AIDS and tuberculosis and malaria and other hemorrhagic diseases. And it's not happening. We're spending, as a world, $4 billion a day on military arms. $4 billion a day. And we're spending less than $200,000 a day researching tuberculosis and malaria. That's the kind of maniacal, cruel, oppressive priorities that flow from regimes that are under the control of commercial interests who corrupt them as well as themselves. We have to recognize that the genius of the Third World is going to save the Third World. It's not going to be the World Bank, and it's not going to be IMF. Yeah. The greatest idea of education in terms of literacy came from people like Paulo Freire of Brazil, not the World Bank or the IMF. The greatest ideas of giving shelter to people has come not from the World Bank or the IMF, but from the people's architect in Egypt, Hassan Fathi, who taught illiterate Egyptian peasants how to build little houses from the soil under their feet. And architects around the world are extending his work. It will come from ideas like the Grameen Bank in Bangladesh that provided microcredit led by Muhammad Yunus for thousands of women and other entrepreneurs, $100, $200 loans to build village-based enterprises. These and other ideas deserve to be widely publicized by all of us, because the multinational corporate model in these countries, backed by dictatorial and oligarchic regimes, will not work. What will work is agricultural credit cooperatives, independent trade unions, democratic elections, health sanitation corps, educational initiatives, and the production of food to become self-reliant, community-based, grassroots economies with appropriate technology. Let me conclude with two references and one exhortation. In the coming months, Congress is going to be asked to extend NAFTA all the way to the southern tip of South America. In the coming months, Congress is going to be asked to expand the burden on U.S. taxpayers to inflate the coffers of the IMF. And in the coming months, Congress will be asked to further the power of multinational corporations by voting down a whole wave of corporate crime reform packages that are being supported by a coalition all over the country. The website is citizenworks.org for those of you who want to get involved. Those of you... A new WTO version is on the horizon to apply the same pull-down strategies that infect the WTO gap on services in our country and around the world, healthcare services, education services, to be corporatized. Now, Congress has 535 men and women. There are about 5,000 corporations that form the bulk of corporate power. We are 200 million American adults. Who's going to win? The key up-to-date website on corporate globalization is citizen.org. Citizen.org, look under Global Trade Watch. Check every morning the website, commondreams.org, very efficient way to catch up on the real news in the country and the world. And October 4th, for those of you from New York City, New Jersey area, there will be. We're going to take the corporate crackdown on crime. We're going to take the crackdown on corporate crime to Wall Street for a big rally at noon on October 4th. We hope some of you will be there, right opposite the New York Stock Exchange, on the federal building, right opposite the New York Stock Exchange. So go back and focus on those 535 people. Make them put their voting record on their website. Make them come back when they come back home to meet with you educate them, enlighten them, put a fire under them, tell them they're there to represent people, not corporations, and make sure that they feel that there's a growing, burgeoning movement, that you may be 50 in a congressional district one day, and you're 100 a week later, and you're 300 later, and you are going to expand and expand until they respond to your demands for justice. Thank you.